You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You might know the song, but not everyone knows the story. Ruakēnana was known as a prophet, a leader of the community he set up in Maunga Pohatu in Te Urewera. Te Urewera is a vast expanse of Ngāhere, Tūhoe land, an iwi famous for their staunch independence. They didn't sign Te Tiriti o Waitangi. The Crown didn't leave them alone, though. An invasion of the area by colonial troops in 1869 was one famous occurrence. New Zealand history states the invasion was intended to punish Tūhoe for supporting Te Kōti Rikirangi, whose, quote, rebel force it had shouted after a defeat. The expedition was also intended to send a signal that there was no sanctuary, however remote from Pākehā settlement, for disaffected Māori. Ruakēnana was actually born around this time. Many Tūhoe saw Rua as a symbol of a new era in which their stolen lands would be returned and kept in their name. In 1907, he built a new religious community at the foot of Maunga Pohatu, the mountain sacred to Tūhoe. At its peak, there were about 800 to 1,000 followers, mostly from Tūhoe and Whakatohia. By 1908, the settlement practiced Sabbath celebrations on Saturdays and educated their own people. They had 280 hectares cleared to grow crops and orchards to run stock, for hundreds of houses as well as community buildings. They were on a pure water supply, with wash basins for hygiene and horses not allowed in the main streets. The settlement had a large circular temple named Hiona, which was a meeting house and a courtroom. Firstly, the government harassed Rua in 1907 for not paying dog taxes for the many dogs living in the village. Secondly, the government prosecuted Kēnana for alcohol. Until 1948, there were different racist laws limiting Māori access to alcohol, so Rua preferred to give some alcohol to his community himself, rather than the Pākehā suppliers who happily and unhealthily supplied Māori customers for profit. He was jailed for 3 months in 1915. Kēnana believed in Maunga Rongo, long-abiding peace. He and his community refused to volunteer for World War I. The government and Pākehā called him pro-German and anti-government, holding him responsible for Tūhoe not enlisting. But actually, Tūhoe had whakapapa ties, as well as ties through Te Kōti and Ingatū to the Kingitanga, and were opposed to Pākehā colonisation. In January 1916, Kēnana was presented with a summons for the 1915 charge, for which he thought he had already served the maximum sentence. His refusal to attend the summons resulted in 70 heavily armed constabulary attacking Maunga Pohatu. On the 2nd of April 1916, shooting began, killing two men, one of which was Kēnana's son. The police charged Kēnana with sedition, arrested him illegally that Sunday, and took him to Mount Eden Prison. His trial was one of the longest in the 19th century, 47 days, but none of the charges could be proven, and so he was found guilty instead of being unwilling to be arrested. He was sentenced to 12 months hard labour and 18 months imprisonment. The soldiers sacked the village, assaulting the women, looting property, spilling blood, and desecrating the sacred site. The costs of the trial crippled the community. Kēnana had plans to develop Tūhoe economically, so the community gifted 40,000 acres to the government to support the building of roads to connect Maunga Pohatu to Eastern Bay of Plenty and Rotorua. The roads were never built, and consequently, the community was unable to be economically successful. This forced whānau to move away, seeking jobs to survive. The waiata you can hear was composed by Rua as he was imprisoned in Mount Eden Prison. It was his lament for those of his people who suffered at the hands of the Crown as a result of the 1916 invasion. The stigma of this arrest and the trauma of the invasion has been carried by the descendants ever since. Legislation as an attempt to address this pain in the history has now been introduced.
Kati au kahuri, karauma.
Māori Party were the ones to get this started in Parliament. In 2012, the Waitangi Tribunal determined that excessive force was used in the arrest of Rua Kēnana and was unlawfully carried out as it was on a Sunday. An agreement was made in 2017 under the former government that it would apologise to followers of the faith and Kēnana's descendants over the invasion. Now it's Minister Nanaia Mahuta seeing this through. This year the legislation was finalised to pardon Rua Kēnana. Minister Mahuta of the Labour Party spoke in Parliament at the first reading in September.
E ngā toinga o ngā tamariki aiharaira for the lasting damage to the character, the mana, the reputation of Rua Kēnana and his uri. It will also apologise for the deep hurt, shame and stigma caused as a result of the invasion of Maunga Pohatu. The bill concludes with the pardon for the conviction for the moral resistance to arrest. It declares the restoration of the character, mana and reputation of Rua Kēnana, his uri e ngā toinga o ngā tamariki of Iharaira e te mana whakawā. This bill is outside the treaty settlement process. It will have no impact on existing treaty settlements and involves no financial or cultural redress. However, I consider that the bill will go a long way to restoring the reputation and mana of the Crown.
The bill is required in order to provide an appropriate response to a specific set of circumstances focused on the criminal conviction of Rua Kēnana. The bill seeks to restore the character, mana and reputation of Rua Kēnana and his descendants. The package of measures, including the statutory pardon of Rua Kēnana, Crown acknowledgements of the harm suffered and an apology to the descendants of Rua Kēnana is designed to alleviate the ongoing suffering of the descendants and adheres to the Crown's objective to promote reconciliation in the wake of historical wrongs. I had always known of the story. It was one of a long list of unjust and violent invasions enacted upon Māori by the Crown. Now I had an opportunity to visit the place itself. We headed into Te Uruwero in a big van. It wasn't four-wheel drive, so thankfully the weather was clear, blue sky. Had it been raining as forecasted, we would have been mega stuck. That's the sound of the big van driving through the bush on gravel road, round and round, up and down, over bumps and under a thick canopy of ngahere. It took us a couple of hours from Ruatahuna. We eventually broke into open air, a stretch of land where trees were scattered and dry. Formerly a forestry area, these lands had been rented as a way of bringing some money into the area, but this is no longer. There is no work here now. Those who are connected to this land have to live either in Ruatahuna or even further away in Murupara, though some people do hope to return. And it is that hope of return or restoration that I saw while I was there. We finally arrived to a small settlement of a marae and a number of houses that didn't look like they'd been lived in for a while. The settlement was on a little outcrop looking out into vast mountain ranges covered in bush. The wind was up. We came onto the marae. After the porphyry and a cup of tea, I began to walk around and talk to people about what they thought of the pardon. We were also there for a working bee, so I managed to clean some windows and do some painting. The iwi were getting the marae ready for the upcoming ceremony recognising the bill. We approached the waharoa of the marae again from where we entered. They were giving it a new coat of paint. Normally these are a red-brown colour, but they had added green, blue and white. One of the karawa who welcomed us on was there painting. I offered some help, but he had it under control, really. The colour design was very specific.
Aye. What more do you guys? Yeah, I mean, there's heaps to do, eh?
Pardon?
There's heaps to do.
Yeah, heaps to do. We're just touching the top of it.
You're gonna go find something else to do?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to take your job. You can keep going.
No, carry on.
No pressure.
No pressure, yeah.
I'll do as far as I can and then we'll see what else we need.
You'll probably raise the top anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
The tail of it.
Tānerua is a descendant of Ruakenana, as are all the people here today. While we were painting, I asked what he thought the pardon was for.
Yeah, well, we're there, to take all the things off Rua. Nahara.
Are you pleased about that?
Yeah. It's something, you know, all our crows and queers wish for, I think. And it'll probably eventually happen.
Can you tell us what we're doing here? What are you painting?
Oh, the Waharoa. I need the Waharoa.
What is the Waharoa?
Entrance, in archway into the marae out there, into the Mauna Pohatu marae.
Can you describe the colours to us?
The colours?
Right.
Oh, the kikorani, the kākāriki. Oh, when you know, kara. Not the crow when they cut Nārua. He like this blue, like this green.
Yeah.
He like this yellow. It was a bit of a Rastafari fella, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Colourful.
Yeah, colourful.
What's the green and the blue for?
Well, it just represents the sky in Papatūānuku, I suppose.
You were saying that the people here were builders.
Carpenters. Most of them.
And what did they build here?
Well, they built the roundhouse, they call it the Hiona. They built a school down the bottom there. They built a few houses here, English-style houses, in the 115 years ago, I suppose.
What was Rua's vision? What were they building for in that space?
Oh, well, community. Just mana mutuhaka, I suppose. Tinurana tiratana. His own boss, I suppose. Yeah. But the government from those days didn't like that. Didn't like two suns shining, so try and get rid of them. Mm. So Rua was the one. Yeah.
Are you hoping to restore what he started?
Oh, it's a vision. It's a dream, I suppose. Get something back. Yeah.
Cool, though.
We'll probably never get it to how he was. He had it before. But it's something for us to try and achieve, I suppose. The generations to come.
It's a challenge, Bill?
Yeah, challenge. Kia hao
o moe moe a mō ngā tamariki mokupuna o tēnei wāhi?
Kia mautunga ki tō rātau reo, tikana. Kia mau ki tō rātau whakapapa. Koi rā pēr nā mea te mea nui.
Tane was talking about connections there, ensuring those to come would know and be able to access those connections, their whānau, hapū, iwi, their place. Richard Tumarai is another descendant of Rua.
Richard Tumarai.
Pretty much everyone I spoke to here, if you ask how they are related to Rua, they know their whakapapa. They know from who they descend. They know how they are connected to this maunga. Richard himself has been coming up here most weekends for the past 30 years. Here he was again this weekend doing mahi to get the marae ready. I asked him what the pattern actually is.
I like to call it, it'll come in two parts. We're in the journey of the first part of it, that's the statutory pattern. We've been on this journey for some time now, over a number of years.
You might say over 100 years.
Yeah, quite some time. But for a lot of people here, it's probably been about 3 to 5 years. Myself and my wife, who departed last year, we were on this journey for the better part of from 2005 to now.
Wow.
Yeah. Previous to that, of course, we were involved in discussions with some of the old people. We were just basically listening about the whole story and just absorbing, soaking all the information in. And when they passed on, of course, then we kind of took over this journey.
Did you know the story growing up? Did you know about Tuakena?
Not initially. It wasn't until I was probably aged 24, somewhere around there.
Do you think there was, I mean, these stories obviously have not been taught in schools, but was it difficult for your, you know, your kuia, your karawa, your matua to talk about it? Was there mamai there?
I think there was, but they did talk to us about it. They kept it to themselves. Yeah.
Why do you think that?
You're right, there's probably some hurt there, my mind, and people don't quite talk about it, I suppose. The less they talked about it, I suppose, they wanted in some way to forget, yeah, some of the pain.
Do you think that this, like you say, the pardon, but also, you know, what could happen after, do you think some of that will go towards healing that mamai?
I'd hope so. Once the pardon is delivered on the 21st of December, I think a lot of them would come to the realisation that something's good come out of it.
What do you hope? What is the hope that you sort of have for the future?
Well, as I mentioned as part of our discussion, part one is the journey we're on at the moment. Part two will come later. And that's another story. Yeah.
Keeping quiet on that one.
Yes, for the time. Yeah, you can come back again and we'll talk about
it. Come back and finish the painting?
Yeah.
Karen is someone who had been disconnected from this place.
You know, my nan was here during the invasion, so her father and mother were here.
Wow.
Her father was Te Kaumarua.
Wow.
And so I guess after the invasion, they just left and never really came back.
And didn't talk about it?
Well, they did. But I don't think they had good memories of it. So my mum remembers coming back here with my nan once, you know, when she was 18. Yeah, my mum's 17 now, so it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Growing up, she always knew she was tūhoe. She knew Maunga Pōhatu held special significance, but living physically away from the place, it took her until she was an adult to decide to reconnect.
So I'm almost a registered nurse, and part of my learning was doing a mental health placement, and I did that where I'm from, at a place that is kaupapa Māori and reconnects Māori who are disconnected from their Māori worldviews. And yeah, that's a strong focus of the mahi is reconnecting whānau who are in distress. I had this conflict, like, you know, I am so disconnected and here I am helping these people reconnect, and I actually felt really quite plastic. That's how I felt. And so it was while I was there that I thought, well, I'm going home. You know, I tried to do it for years and years and years to come home, and everyone just thought, you know, I was crazy, you know, people wouldn't accept accept me here, and everyone just thought it was a bad idea. So when I made up my mind that I was coming, I didn't tell anybody. I told my kids and they still thought I was crazy. And so, yeah, I did it. Wow. So I just came, and that was about June last year. And I just thought, you know, I'll go once. If it doesn't work out, then I can just say I've been there, I've done that, and I'll never think about it again. But I came, and it just changed my life. So I went home, and I just told my whole family, we have to go home now. And we did. We came back. We brought a group back in September. A few more came. And then in November, we actually came up here for the first time. And we bought my nan's photo, which is hanging up in the Wharenui now.
Wow.
So, yeah, we brought her home. And, yeah, I've probably been here, I don't know, 8 times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did it mean to you to put your nan's picture up in the whare?
It means so much because I do think my nan would have wanted that. I don't think my nan. I think if my nan had the choice, that she would have rather stayed connected to this place. Yeah, it was emotional bringing nan home. But I think she's where she should be.
Oh,
yeah.
And that ultimately, like her, that sort of, her having to move away, that disconnection was a direct result of that.
I think so, yeah.
Raid, or that pressure from, absolutely unjust pressure from the government.
Mm, I think so.
The crown.
Yeah.
Ngā Waiata Turnbull is Ngai Tūhoe. Growing up in this area, Ngā Waiata is part of this history. She has memories of Maunga Pōhatu from 40 years ago and sees that so much has changed. We sat together just outside the Waharoa on the Maunga looking out at the rolling hills of thick ngāere with the wind on our faces and hammers going off in the background and quad bikes interrupting. I asked what brought her to the Working Bee this weekend.
So we all just here doing the mahi physically to get our marae looking good, looking presentable for our manuhiri tuarangi, our important guests and visitors that are coming on the 20th of December for the Royal Ascent. So we just want to make sure, like every other marae in Tūhoe, when we have manuhiri, that everything is nice and tidy and presentable.
So I guess the kaupapa, what does the pardon mean to you?
So the pardon is something that our elders have carried for a while, like carried in terms of being engaged with the government or the crown towards trying to get a pardon.
Yesterday, Stokely reckons because he's lucky because he got to drive the quad because they're not supposed to until they're 12.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the pardon lifting, that do you think that will go at least, I suppose, some way towards lifting some of the mamai that was caused?
Yeah, I guess it is a part of us because, you know, it's happened. It's our history, and it's we either deal with it or we don't, sort of thing. I guess the pardon in terms of today is a good thing because it becomes something that brings us together again to remember together our shared history, and then it inspires us in a way to start to think again and act again together in terms of what we want for now and for our future together under the umbrella of Iharoira in the context of being descendants of that faith. So we belong to that faith, and that faith belongs to us. It's something that, you know, he taonga tērā, whakapono I roto I a mātou. It is inherently connected with who we are as tamakai moana, who we are as people of Mauna Pohatu. So the pardon is sort of like a catalyst that has reminded us. It becomes something that, brings us together again. It's an opportunity for us to start to sit together and plan again as a people moving forward.
Mm. Aye. Mm. Mm. What does forward look to you, or what do you hope?
I don't know what forward looks like, but I love my history. I love my history, and I love what was here. And for me, I don't think that moving forward we need to become something drastically different from what we are now, but it's more about remembering who we used to be, and that we can be like that again, not necessarily to go back to, you know, practices of before, but to just bring forward those key principles and to be inspired by what our tipuna were able to achieve here, just from their own kaha, from their own imagination, from their own creativity, and their own strength, their own kaha. But again, that kaha is, and that oneness, that unity, comes from the whakapono, comes from the faith that they shared together. So, it's not about being completely different or trying to catch up with the rest of the world or anything like that, but it's more, sort of to catch up with ourselves and just come back to what's important or what's real, which is, you know, being on our whenua, being able to see our mountain, being able to see our hills, being able to breathe clean air and all of those things, have clean wai, host visitors, just be together, sing together, play together, work together.
Is that what Rua Kinana wanted? What, you know, what was his vision in your mind?
Yeah, I think in essence, and I have been told that, you know, at the core of his teachings was the wellness of the people through the wellness of the environment or the land. So
do you want to add anything to that, Pasai? Wellness of the people and through the wellness of the land.
Yeah, ko te whenua te mea nui. Just going back to some of the recorded eyewitness sort of accounts of Te Rua when he first started receiving his visions back in 1904 onwards. E ki ana te kōrero, he was asked, you know, I have work for you to do. Are you ready to do this work for me? And he says, mena he mahi mo te tanata karekau, engari mena he mahi ki te whakaore I te whenua ai. So yeah, if it's for the wellness of people, then no. But if it's for the wellness of the land, then yes. And so within that kōrero already, you can see right at the beginning that he already sort of had the answer, which was the wellness of the whenua, the wellness of the taiao equals the wellness of the people.
Ngā Waiata is currently doing her PhD, capturing the narratives of the people connected to this history, as well as documenting the Iharaira faith the community followed.
There's a lot of kōrero there that not for the sake of bringing up bad memories, Meki, but for the sake of us just knowing the full facts of our own history, and also of us to actually sort of be the experts of our kōrero rather than our kōrero to be told to us by others.
Yeah.
So he mea nui tira kia hoki whakaroto mātou tonu o Iharaira, kia mātou anō ki te ki me o mātou kōrero, ki te poipoi mai o mātou kōrero, hai tauna tonu, mana whakatipurana mam. And I hope that that our tamariki and mokopuna would be proud to be Iaroira.
Teata didn't grow up at Maunga Pohatu and only learnt what happened when he started asking questions.
Actually, you know, that was a different journey. It was something, you know, wasn't taught taught to me by my mum until I started asking questions. I've been to Maunga Pohatu, and I said, oh, beautiful place. And not realising, because she never spoke about her upbringing, who she was, who she came from. And she was pretty humble. Right? She never spoke until you get her here. And then the past floods in. I say to a lot of mokopunas, go with Nan. Don't ask Nan any questions. When she said, sit around her. And she said, why? And I said, just listen. And don't ask questions. And when they come back for either, whether it be down the bottom or up the top. And she said, she has a wealth of knowledge about this place. And she never left here until her probably late teen, 16, 17. Then she left.
Wow. Mm. And so when she did tell those stories, what would she be saying?
It was a lot of hurt.
What is today about in terms of the weekend?
Well, it's more just final, touches to, you know, to the weeks that's going to follow from this day here. And which probably it'll be to the Royal Assent when the Governor General comes in and into Maunga Pohatu. Looking forward to a day as such, and you know, it's been a long since due, you know, for something like that to happen. It's been attempted a few times by, you know, some of our park, I guess, but it didn't work. And you know, eventually we had a good kōrero, myself, Richard, and our other colleagues, and I said, it's not just we've been drawn together to do this here, Queen. We've been actually called upon to actually do this here, Queen. And it took, and with Leni Te Kawa, if you're familiar with Leni Te Kawa, he's always mentioned that the blood that was spilled on Maunga Pohatu has never been repaid in full. And I've always said to them, we need to look at it from a different perspective. It's the blood that's coming back, you know, to make this circle or this journey here complete. And I said, when you look at all of us, we are the blood descendants of Ruakina.
What does it look like to you to have, like you've just said, in terms of not looking at it as the blood being repaid? But what does it look like then if it's come full circle?
Yeah, it's gone around full circle, and I suppose it's a sense of peace. It's still been there, you know, it always erupts every so often. And he said, well, something has to be done. You know, we need to either push towards the crown and seek recognition through all what has happened, or we sit back and just watch the world go by. So we decided, we're not gonna sit back. And I think it's all came down to what Kiritsuia was striving for. And he said, this was where me and my wife sort of, you know, came up a few times, listening to her, went away, and I said, well, maybe this is the opportunity. You know, it's come. You know, we'll just feel it out. And then over a period of time, you know, we started getting comfortable with the whole idea of it, and I said, yes, we need to go forth with this and have a go how far we can go with it. You know, everything is sitting quite calmly, and I sort of look at my deceased wife and I said, we can close. And I said, as much as I would have preferred you and Kitty here, you know, because they were part of it. When the going get tough, they just say, okay, hard enough, tough enough. Those were dear things. And we always, you know, look upon that and use it at an advantage point. I have a few other things in mind, and I've discussed it with one or two colleagues, but you probably will find that out in the very near future. You know, because when it does come, probably it's going to come at, you know, at a huge, you know, depends whether the EWI is going to be happy with it. And I said to him, well, only thing, because it has been proven, and even the Crown has acknowledged that Wakinana did nothing wrong. You know, great at him.
There are some I spoke to on this day who weren't so sure about the pardon. They weren't sure what it would really do or change, or even if it was necessary. Some who thought it didn't go far enough. Some who still didn't know the history in full. Given the movement that began a few years ago by students from Otorohanga petitioning for New Zealand history to be taught in schools, it is probably safe to say that many people, old and young, ki te motu whānui, still don't know all their stories. We don't know our stories, and those that do know are getting old. Kei te wehe etahi o rātou ki te pō. Kirituia Tumarai, along with Richard Tumarai, was instrumental in organising the community around the pardon, as well as revitalising the religion formed by Rua. But Kirituia passed away before seeing that work come to fruition.
But that's difficult when there's been people who have been involved, who have been so much a part of the process, and then don't get to see
the end. Yes. Yep.
Part of life.
Part of life, yeah. Sad part of life, but I guess it's human life.
Now it is up to the next generation to continue that work.
I'm a drawing. And B, C, T, Pia. That's wow. Not Pia. I'm going to do a little smiley face for shopping. I'm going to draw. I need to draw my name.
It is up to them to ensure the pardon means something, that it will be the first step in a larger process. Up to them to ensure that they will walk into the future knowing their stories and knowing their past so that they can decide for themselves, with the autonomy Rua envisioned for them, what that future will hold. Ka mua, ka muri.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.